Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, Paul writes to the church. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Oh, praise the Lord for the forgiveness available in Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our study in the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings part 6 of a message titled, God Gave Them Over. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, Democrat from New York, was exactly right when he wrote some years ago that constant exposure to decadence inures one to its disgust. We've been so exposed over a relatively short period of time that nothing really surprises us anymore. Our numbness won't forgive the inevitable consequences we'll all pay eventually, this fellow writes. But for now, I've elected to join the masses and wrap myself in the complacency of good times. He raped somebody. So what? That's the end of his letter. He quotes Moynihan, the senator from New York, who wrote some years ago now, constant exposure to decadence inures one to its disgust. And of course, in his own life, he went ahead and voted for keeping him. It's amazing to see where we're at. And yet it does not deliver what it promises. Man turns from God and he worships self, and the worship of self and pleasure and sex only further leads to bondage. It does not set free, it leads to a bondage. And so you have it not delivering what it promised, but it delivers a bondage. And the plunge downward continues. For this reason, read on the text, verse 26. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. You see, we've had a generation or two that has plunged into immorality and found that that didn't work. And you can hear it in even the music of a generation ago. I can't get no satisfaction. The thrill is gone. Is that all there is? And so man plunges further into darkness and looks for darker and cheaper and deeper thrills, if you will. And verse 26 follows verse 24. And verse 26 and 27 describe the plunge downward that we've seen in our culture. Degrading. Notice verse 26. God gives us over to degrading passions. Shameful, dishonoring passions, literally. And he doesn't leave us guessing, does he? He explains them. The verse goes on, their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. The perversion of homosexual sin, the degrading passions that God gives a culture over to when they turn away from him and plunge into immorality. It doesn't just stop, it goes onward and downward. You see, without divine restraint, when man says he's his own God, there's no place for it to stop, really. And history is full of this, and our culture today is seeing it lived out. And notice, he describes in detail this idea of their bodies being dishonored. To take your body, God's creation, potentially the temple of the Holy Spirit, and to use it in this way is an abomination. And there's no secret. There's no secret. There's no mystery as to why our culture is increasingly infected with this. God gives us over to it, it says. Somebody said it this way. When man inverts and perverts the creator-creature relationship, God allows the creature-creature relationship to become inverted and perverted. In other words, put simply, this is the principle of Scripture all the way through. God judges sin with sin. And you see it right here in the first chapter of Romans. God punishes sin with sin. Now, as distasteful as it is, there's several things that need to be said today. In a confused world, in a society where nobody's got any real moorings, there's no societal anchors, it's important that we let the Bible speak, and it's important that we as a church and as Christians know what God's truth is on this. And so, in one sense, without apology, I say these things, and in another sense, with apology. But it's important that we say what God says about this. And he spells it out in this first chapter of Romans, this great display, this great explanation of the good news. So I want to underline six things. First of all, however grievous fornication and adultery are, and they are terrible sins with terrible consequences, homosexual perversion is a yet lower plane. The Bible makes no bones about there being distinctions of sin. All sin is abhorrent to God, but there are levels of sin and levels of judgment, and the desecration involved in this sin is yet a lower plane. Notice what he says, verse 26, unnatural. They exchange the natural function for that which, literally, it reads against nature. Male with male, female with female, those really should be translated. He doesn't use the honorable name of man and woman there. He uses almost, he says it very distinctly, male with male, female with female. And you can sense his disgust, abandoning, verse 27, that which is natural. You know, it's ironic if you read older liberals, i.e., those who of other generations who began to question the Bible and turn their back on God, but still had enough of the societal restraint in them, they would comment on Romans 1 almost as if Paul was exaggerating, or at least they would be careful to just describe ancient Rome in its hideous form. But they couldn't imagine that it would ever be really true in our day. And those same liberals, their kids and grandkids, so to speak, theologically, are leading the charge of the apostate church today into this very sin and propagating it and promoting it and saying it's all okay in the name of Christianity. It's amazing to see. Beast-like behavior. In fact, beast-like behavior is too kind of word because man sinks lower than the animals at this point. Now, secondly, it's absolutely illegitimate. It really should be seen without having to be said. But notice what he says, verse 27, they burned in their desire. It's an unnatural lust. It cannot be satisfied, so to speak. Unlike the God-given sexual drive that has beautiful and good fulfillment within the sacred bonds of marriage, perverting of it, there is no satisfaction, as there never really is with lust of all sorts. And so it is absolutely illegitimate, and hence the wantonness of their behavior. And you say, well, it's happened throughout history. Yes, it has. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But you look back in the Bible where this was described, and in Genesis 19, for instance, when Lot was in Sodom, and the angels came, and the men of the city surrounded the house and said, bring the men out. These angels that they wanted specifically for this sin. And finally, Lot, you know, went out and tried to compromise with them. And finally, they started to attack. And the angels pulled Lot in and struck them with blindness. And what happened? They continued to grope in the darkness for the door. And you see the same wanton behavior today. Has AIDS slowed this down? Depends on which poll you read, but it really hasn't. The judgment of God does not, the blindness, so to speak, that was literally struck with these on these men in Sodom, they just continued to rush toward the door. And that's exactly what you see in this absolutely illegitimate behavior. And that brings me to the third point. It goes hand in hand. And Scripture documents it, history documents it. It goes hand in hand with perverse violence. You look through the scriptural record from the time of the flood to Sodom and Gomorrah to the time of the judges when Israel wanted to be like the other nations and every man did what was right in his own eyes in the time of the judges. And you read Judges 19 and it reads like you're reading of Sodom. And the violence that went with it, the perverse violence. And it's no surprise that today, as we've turned our back on God, we've plunged into immorality and further perversion of immorality. It's no surprise that we have sex crimes and rape and murder and thrill killings and all the other things just all bunched into one. These go hand in hand. It is not coincidental that as we indulge in more and more pornography, both in, well, in every form you can think of, that our culture becomes more and more violently perverse. And this morning, as I got in the car and turned the key on and the radio was already on, they said, Sunday morning news, the top of the news in Portland. And before I could get to the stop sign on my street, they said that the door-to-door guy, and I forgot what part of the city, they've found out that he's a rapist. And the next item was they think they know who's exposing himself to the junior high girls in Hillsboro, but they can't arrest him yet. Those were two items before I got to the stop sign. And you know what I'm saying. You hear the same news I do. This is no surprise. When a culture turns its back on God, plunges into immorality, it doesn't stop there. Goes hand in hand with perverse violence of all sorts. By the way, you want to know about the other two items? There's the police officer that's out of the hospital after being shot, and the memorial service for the Portland couple that were slaughtered. It's a violent, perverse, wicked news that we hear, is it not? Of course, it is. Then fourthly, look at verse 27. This sin has temporal consequences. Receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Twisted, perverse personalities. Physical diseases. Ask any MD. And not the least of which, of course, is AIDS. You say, Scott, are you saying that AIDS is a judgment of God? Of course I'm saying that. What about all the innocent? What about all the innocent? The hemophiliac, the person, the hospital worker, the one who is. Listen, just because something has innocent suffer with the guilty doesn't mean that it's not a judgment of God. God says suffering in their own persons, the due penalty of their error. There are many ways that God brings temporal judgment on sin. And the fact that innocents suffer with the guilty from drunk driving or murder or just about any other sin and its judgments does not change the fact. It only underlines that it is not the final judgment for these things. It's just the temporal consequence, not the final judgment. The wages of sin ultimately is death in all its ramifications. But it has temporal consequences, and we would be foolish. And of course, many are very foolish. Professing to be wise, they become fools to deny that. The blindness that has captured our culture should not capture us. Even though there are many who profess to be wise, they're spouting forth folly. We ought not to believe it. And we should be aware of what God has said. And then fifthly, let me say something about the cause of homosexuality, because I know when I speak on something like this, when the Bible addresses it, I've had people many, many times not want to hear what the scripture says, not want to hear the truth on this subject and many other subjects. And so there will be those who say, how can we know though the cause? And there's much speculation as to whether is it really sinful, or is it environmental? Is it psychologically induced? Is it from circumstances, or is it just genetic? Is it just genetic? Listen, a lot of futile reasonings and speculations has gone on in just this area. But we can say certain things. We can say one thing with absolute certainty. First of all, it is sinful. Listen to the scripture. Not just in Romans 1, but throughout. It is sinful. But isn't it psychological? Isn't it environmental? Suppose it is. An aloof, distant father and an overprotective mother. Well, these things, suppose it is. Psychologically induced or environmentally induced sin does not excuse sin in any realm. Suppose it's genetic. Oh, well, I was born that way. Listen, you were born with lots of propensities, huh? Ever since Genesis 3, the scripture teaches we are prone to sin. And that does not, even in a human court of law, that does not in any way. In fact, a human court will hammer the gavel down even harsher when there's no sense of remorse or regret. Whether it be molesting or murder or whatever it is, when the man says, it's just the way I am, the judge rightfully comes down even harsher. So don't you think that someone can say, well, that's just the way I am. Listen, the way you are, the way I am, it's not the way we're supposed to be. We're separated from God. And we need to understand that. Now, sixth, and I want to say this very clearly, turn to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Sixth thing, this sin is not unforgivable. This sin is forgivable. Do you not know, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, Paul writes to the church. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Oh, praise the Lord for the forgiveness available in Jesus Christ. This sin, like all sin, will condemn one to hell. It separates us from a holy God. And it is a sign of the declension of our culture that it is so rampant and so celebrated, but it is not unforgivable. Paul underlines it. Don't be deceived on this. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor swindlers, and he lists several other sins, will inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, such were some of you. What's the clear implication? That the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, even these sins. And the church has always been made up of cleansed sinners. And we can proclaim today a gospel, a good news of Jesus Christ, that you can be washed, you can be sanctified, you can be justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we need to underline that. You see, you say, why does Paul say these things so bluntly? Some, I'm sure, it's run through your mind because it's run through mine. Scott, why don't you just kind of skim over verse 26 and following? Let's just move on. This is not an easy subject. Why does the Bible get right into it and state these things? Is it just to rub our nose in our sin? No. It's to show us our sin. It's to help us really see how desperately we need a Savior. And that's what Romans 1 does. And then it leads toward Romans 3. And today we live in a world that desperately needs Jesus Christ. Now, there are going to be some who say, well, these sins have always been with us. Yes, they have. Ever since Genesis 3. Genesis 4 follows 3. And 4, there's a murder within the first family. Sin brings terrible results and consequences. But in a world of sin, we are not to condone the sin. We are to condemn the sin. God's word never takes it easy on sin. It always speaks with authority towards sin, but then it offers salvation and forgiveness from sin, deliverance from sin. The gospel, Paul said in verse 16, the good news is what? The power of God for salvation, deliverance. Now, we are, we're in a day when it's imperative that we hold those truths in tension. I read a commentator that said, Bill Clinton has no honor nor shame. And I thought to myself, that's our culture. We have no honor or shame left, either one. What should we do? We're to call people to the one who can cleanse. We are to be salt and light in a decaying world. We're to be a preservative in a dark world. We're to be the light. And we call people to him who is the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And you're surrounded with people who are in bondage to immorality. You're surrounded with people who are idolaters. I am too. We need to beware of the sin. We need to realize it, call it what it is. We need to never condone it, but condemn it. And yet we need to proclaim the gospel of deliverance from sin. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And such were some of you, the apostle writes, as he lists the sins. And I say, we need to proclaim Jesus Christ. Christian, beware. Don't, in the name of grace or mercy or love, just kind of quit distinguishing things in your mind. The church has done far too much of that. We need to state it clearly. We need to let the truth of God really come out. Beware of these sins yourself. Don't think you're immune. We're going to see that in chapter 2. He does not let us off the hook in any kind of, you say, well, I'd never get near that sort of thing. Listen, you and I are capable of anything. Beware. But just the same, proclaim the Savior, the deliverer from sin. And non-Christian, if you're here without Christ, I tell you this, any sin will separate you from God. All sin. And you say, well, I've avoided that sin. I maybe have got caught up in that one, but it doesn't matter which sin. All sin can be cleansed if you'll come to Jesus Christ. And only can sin be cleansed when you come to Jesus Christ. Don't you try to scrub it off any other way. You say, well, mine aren't the real gross ones. I think I can handle it with just a little religion. Oh, no. You come to Jesus Christ, and the blood of Christ will cleanse you from all sin, the Scripture says. And I would say today, if you hear his voice, don't put him off. Don't harden your heart like Israel did. You come to him and he can and will deliver.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, God Gave Them Over, a message from our series in the book of Romans. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. We're thrilled to announce the publication of a new book written by Pastor Scott Gilchrist. It's called A Brief Exposition of Romans. It's a 266-page chapter-by-chapter commentary on Romans that we're sure will enhance your understanding of this critical book in the New Testament. The book is available online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and most other online booksellers. But during our study of Romans, we'd like to send you a copy as a thank you for a gift of any amount to the ministry of Downtown Bible. You can find us online at downtownbible.org or by mail at P.O. Box 19191, Portland, Oregon, 97280. We'd love to put this valuable resource in your hands. If you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us in person for our Sunday worship services at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m. at the church located at the corner of Southwest Murray and Weir Road in Beaverton. You can go to our website at swbible.org for more details. We hope to see you there. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. The idea of this word depraved is tested and having flunked or been found wanting. A disqualified, oftentimes it's translated worthless. Something that you test and it's a reject. It doesn't work. It's not right. That's what he gave us over to, a depraved mind. And man, notice how he puts it, man did not see fit to acknowledge God. Man didn't want to have God in his knowledge. What a description of our day.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings part 7 of the message titled, God Gave Them Over. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.